I remember I had a conversation with my pops where he genuinely was like, I don't understand. How are you gonna make money with music? I feel like you're just gonna end up like those homeless people on the train performing.
Got the hustle for the dollar.
I be sucking on a big toe like. My tongue be like in between like, me on Pornhub, bro. That's an addiction right there, bro. Oh, bro, high school and college. 3-4 times a day.
But you know what's funny? Like, I actually known you when you were doing like a couple hundred views like per video.
Oh yeah.
You pulled up on me when you were a freshman in college, bro. Yeah. Like, I think that was my first year of blowing up on YouTube.
When it came to like my transformation as a person,
yeah,
you played one of the most major role in me transforming myself. Every semester I'll go through a depression period and I'd be like, you know what, bro? There's nothing wrong with like a business job.
You never like spit in front of your parents and they were like, Sean, the heck was for? Because my mom listened to your music before and she was like, he got it.
You have to realize my parents are like super racist. So to them,
I just hate it.
No, dead ass. Bro, you know how many times I got into an argument with them? It was just like, oh yeah, ni wish my number, you want hey, you wish my male dungo pen you.
My question is, do girls like keeping that one straight friend around? But why does she keep asking to do couple likes things? Okay, first of all, shopping isn't necessarily a couple like thing to do. Yeah. You know what a couple like thing to do is? Fuck it.
We have staple of the show, staple of the channel, you already know.
This man needs no introduction. He's been on the channel for ages now. And whether in front of the camera or making music for the channel, welcome. Contrast, ladies and gentlemen.
It's your boy.
We're going to talk about your come up, right? They don't really know about your actual... Is this the first interview that you did? That you've ever done?
Sort of, yeah. I've never really talked about. Ever since I kind of like popped off, I haven't. You know me, bro. When I popped off, I became super antisocial.
And we're going to tap into that too. Because now, like, you know, you're antisocial. And not a lot of people know that, right? Because in my videos, you seem like this wild cat, right?
Yeah.
But really, like, in reality, you just in your room all the time just making music.
I'm dummy introverted, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like I can't function in social settings, but... I would just rather be at the crib chilling and making music than anything else.
But you know what's funny? Like, I actually known you when you were doing like a couple hundred views per song, like per video.
Oh yeah.
Like the Bill Mimi days. And even before that, like the Genghis Khan days.
Oh,
even before that, bro, when you were in Trikuza.
Oh.
But you pulled up on me when you were a freshman in college, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I think that was my first year of blowing up on YouTube. And then you pulled up on me just like, yo, let me spit a quick freestyle for you, bro. I was just like, nah, like you were spitting.
Nah, bro, I remember that.
You threw the Chinese in there?
Yeah.
I was hype.
No, when you heard me
spit so
the Mandarin
hyped.
Shit, you was just like, oh! You got crazy. Nah, that interaction was so funny too, because I had like known who you were, right? But I didn't know what your name was. So I sat, you sat down. I was like, yo, your name's like Chucky or some shit, right? Your name's like Timmy. That shit was mad funny, bro. You was like, yeah, sure, let's go with Timmy.
Yeah.
I was just like, yo, your name like Timmy or some shit, right?
I don't even think like we would have been friends if I didn't make a circle back around.
Yeah.
And you stopped me the second time. I was like, yo, bro, let me rap for you real quick. Because the first time I just asked my question and then I dipped. But from that moment, I was like, yo, this kid has talent.
Yeah.
Right. And then I pulled up to your YouTube. I realized this kid does no numbers. I was like, this man got like 1,000 subscribers on a group channel.
Yeah.
I think like a year went by and you were just like, this is 2017 when I met you. And then 2018, you were still just going to school. Like, bro, I know your backstory. But you don't even gotta share this with me, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I could literally recite your backstory.
Yeah.
Because I was just so like.
Well, it's because like during
is
that.
Is there anything I don't know? Like, any insights from that time that I don't know? Like, what was, like, the mental struggles that you were dealing with?
I would say the only thing that I feel like was left out was mainly the fallout of Trikuza. Because we had to, like, kick the other member out.
Yeah,
me and the remaining member of Trikuza at the time, we were still cool, but you could see there was, like, a rift kind of, like, developing between us. I low-key was just feeling hopeless. Like, during, like, from when I met you to, like, when I saw you again, I would have these like almost slightly delusional like grandeur visions of like, oh, I'm gonna make it. But then it's like I would have these reality checks where I'm like, bro, I'm not doing anything. You know, like, right. I'm not releasing music to the point of, like, where I want to be. I'm not making music, the quality of music that I want to be making. Even then, like, the songs that I was releasing, like, bro, they were just not it. I would say, like, from 2017 to, like, 2018, 2019, I think that was a period of me, like, you know, training. Like, getting my work in, learning how shit works.
Yeah.
Because, like, when I was with, like, the group Trikuza, I low-key didn't know anything about the music making process other than like recording. And this is probably the most valuable lesson. Like I gotta like rely on myself. I can still depend on others, but like at the end of the day, like I gotta do this shit for myself because I can't. Yeah. Every time I try to wait on a song or something, like people would take like days, weeks to get back to me.
Yeah. Did you ever think about giving up at this point?
Oh yeah. Bro, I would think about giving up like every semester. Every semester, I'll go through a depression period, and I'd be like, you know what, bro? I'ma just, like, I feel like there's nothing wrong with, like, a business job.
Oh, really?
You know, like, in my house, like, maybe I could be, like, maybe I could just work as, like, an engineer. Not like a music engineer.
Okay.
So it'd still be, like, music-related.
Right, like a stable job related to your career. But you still have people coming up to you like, bro, you could spit. Like, you could really make something out of yourself. Yeah. Like those words probably motivated you to just kind of hook the audience. Like, let's talk about your numbers real quick. I think this year alone, you did, what, 50 million streams?
I think if you combined everything together, like, from all my songs, probably around, like, 40 something to 50 million.
Yeah. In terms of like financially, that's also that equates to what? Like maybe
around six figures.
Around six figures?
Around six figures.
That's what's up.
Yeah. I only pocketed a small amount because obviously with
you gotta reinvest back into the business. Yeah, yeah.
So I like in pocket, I'm still a little, you know, I'm getting by financially, right. Yeah, I reinvest a lot into music.
It's enough to move out the house, right?
Oh yeah, I finally got my own crib.
Oh hell yeah,
back in New York, bro.
Yeah,
me man, we living Dolly lives out here.
Damn,
got my own little studio set up at the crib,
mm-hmm. Brooklyn.
Yeah,
Brooklyn,
back home, man.
Yeah, I'm happy for you, bro.
I appreciate it.
You know, because finally you are out of the clutches of Asian parents.
Oh,
let's talk.
Because
when you were at home making music and you were still going to school, you were going to college, would you say that's probably one of the most down bad periods of your time, right?
For the sake of exaggeration, yeah, that was probably one of my darkest times.
Mm-hmm.
But like, in reality, it wasn't like the worst part of my life. You know, I was still living good because, you know, obviously my parents are making food for me and shit. Yeah. I can still eat. It's just it was just like mentally, it was probably one of the worst periods because it's like, keep in mind, I'm going to like a business school. I don't get any kind of creative input or creative inspiration whenever I go out.
Right.
And then when I come home, I have to just deal with my parents being like, bro, enough of this little music like side project you're doing, like enough of this little hobby that you're doing, like get a real job, you know, like it wasn't
they never peeped your talent.
They don't listen to rap really. Like my dad didn't even know what rap was,
but I feel like over in China they got like a little you know, like they got Chinese rap.
My parents are old school, bro. They was listening to like Chinese opera. They was like, she you watch a like, they was listening to that shit, bro. And, like, they was, like, that, like operatic.
Right,
like,
right.
They got the white face and everything dancing on, like, yeah. So, for them, bro, the idea of, like, music was just, like, out of, like, their head. The only reference they had, because it's funny, my dad was just like, oh, yeah, you know, if you keep doing music, you should go to Shanghai and then appear on them talk shows. That's how you're going to make money, right?
Right.
Because I remember I had a conversation with my pops where he genuinely was like, I don't understand. How are you gonna make money with music? I feel like you're just gonna end up like those homeless people on the train performing.
Oh.
Like, he straight up was just like, yo, you're gonna end up like those people on the train.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And in my head, I was just kind of like, damn, thank you for the support, Pops. I appreciate you for the endless amount of support.
Right, right. But here's the thing. Like, the mental stress that adds to, like, your mindset of trying to make it as a musician is so detrimental.
Oh yeah.
Right.
I mean, like okay, I will say there is merit in what they're saying, because like being an artist, that shit is tough. Like, just, I mean, I think
statistically, like, you're not gonna make it.
Like where I'm at right now, like, I'm nowhere near. Like, people, I hear people in my comments saying, like, I'm already famous. Right. And in my head, I'm like, bro, I am so far off.
Yeah. But at this point, you never, like, spit in front of your parents and they were like, ah, Sean, the heck was for?
Well,
because my mom listened to your music before and she was like, yo, he, you know, he got it.
Well, the thing is, you have to realize my parents are like super racist. So to them,
I just hate it.
No, dead ass, bro. You know how many times I got into an argument with them? It was just like, oh yeah, ni wei shen me na ma xi huan hei leng a, huh? Ni wei shen me mei you zhongguo peng you a? Ni dou mei ci.
How come you? How come you got no Asian friends, bro? Yeah. Why you always want to be friends with black homies?
Yeah.
Damn.
And it like for me, I was just like, bro, like it was just the easiest because it was like every time, at least for me, like one of the main reasons I got into rap was just I really liked the idea of like poetry and song form and like. Because in a rap song, like you have to low key say a lot of shit.
Yeah.
At least like. Back in old school, when I was listening to like more old school rap,
yeah,
like the Tupacs and the Biggies,
yeah,
they always had like a story in their songs,
yeah,
and that resonated crazy with me. So like going into like high school and middle school and shit, like most of my friends during that time were all kind of like black or Hispanic. When it came to like my transformation as a person,
yeah,
you played probably one of the most major role in me transforming myself. From like a person who was like not really sure about like if music was my career,
yeah,
into like, okay, yeah, nah, time to take this shit into the rocket and fly way up into space. Because right. I don't know if it's because like I just needed reassurance. Because even though I had friends telling me, yeah. Oh, you're doing good with music,
yeah.
None of them like had any kind of like name to them. I would hear these like these empty praises, they probably weren't even empty, but it's just kind of like, damn, bro, like.
But they were just praises. They were just words of affirmation.
So,
but like I gave you not only mentorship, but also like actionable steps to do. One, I gave you like steps to do, like suggestions, like, oh, you should do this.
Yeah.
You should do this. But I think that's what led to the, I guess, Bluebird.
Yeah.
Right? Because I think at the time I was like, bro, you should just do a freestyle with this Bluebird.
Yeah. Beat,
bro. That would just go hard.
Well, that and like you wanted to do a video for it. You were saying how like you had this video idea for like this Naruto training montage.
Yeah.
And then you were like, bro.
Oh, right. Yeah, I had a shrooms trip.
Yeah.
I had a shrooms trip and I was watching Fantasia. Now, Fantasia is this like old 2000s movie where they synced up to the music with the visuals. Right, they had this orchestra playing, dun, 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 and then it was just like, you know, this animations that, you know, that synced up with the music. I was like, huh, it would be fire if someone like orchestrated music exactly according to like my visuals of a video.
Yeah.
So then I came to you. I was like, yo, I'm doing this like Naruto training thing. It would be fire if, you know, you rapped to this song,
yeah,
to a specific like type of montage that I wanted to do.
Because I wasn't even planning on wanting to do that. Like for me, I was just like, oh, I like this, but it's a little weird for me to hop on. I don't know how I would approach it.
Mm-hmm.
But in my head, it seemed like a throwaway. I was like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna record this just for Jimmy's channel, and then you know it's gonna get us little. Like I thought this shit would have capped at like 200k. 300k, you know what I mean? Like I thought it would have done like maybe Flower Girl numbers, and that's it. Not saying Flower Girl numbers was nothing, but you know, I was like, it's gonna cap out at like a couple hundred thousand,
right?
And then next thing I knew, this shit was like, I was getting notifications like, oh shit, it jumped from like, it's now getting like 20k a day.
20, okay, so how fast did it get you to a million?
It did take a while. I think it took like
a month, 2 months?
No, I think it took like 3-4 months. The thing about Bluebird, it was never like an overnight
success.
Yeah, it was like a very low-key gradual build-up.
Mm.
I never had like a almost like this overnight feeling of like, whoa, this shit is getting crazy views.
Okay.
Like Bluebird had such a gradual increase.
Yeah.
I just thought at one point it would eventually just dip off.
Right. But it never dipped off. The thing I liked about that point in your life is that you didn't put your foot off the gas.
Yeah.
You had a couple songs prepared. It was like, I'm a simp. Yeah. And then you have Flower Girl that released on the same time. And then, like, you steadily put out these songs around that time, like maybe 2 months after Bluebird. That's when you had a decision to make whether to, like, leave your parents' house, like, stay in New York or move out to LA with me. And I think we had a conversation about you giving up, you know, your life in New York.
Yeah, kind
of. And just living in the, like, in the living room. Of my one-bedroom apartment.
Yeah, bro. I was... Even though I will say the apartment was luxurious, but I was living in the trenches, bro. I was sleeping on a hard-ass couch, and I just wake up every day. And there was also just the pressure, because you guys were literally sitting right there.
Yeah.
You know, it's a one-bedroom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, like... And y'all's office, you know, was out in the living room, and that was my office, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, I was recording literally into the closet... As you guys were just off on the side editing a video.
Yeah.
And some of my songs were loud. Like, wait, I was screaming.
Did you pay for rent?
I think I paid for like 2 months of rent. Afterwards, I was like, yeah, bro, I'm broke after like the PS5 video. Like that PS5 video, in hindsight, like now it wouldn't have hurt me. But bro, at the time, I was like, damn.
But you know what? Like during that time, you were steady making music. I think, you know, maybe like... me and Gabe's like work ethic kind of influenced you a little bit.
Well, that's why I say, like, going back to meeting you has really transformed me in the sense of like I just realized how, like, oh, this shit is possible if I really worked hard at it. You know, you were willing to give me a platform and really push me, but you were like look, you know, I'm down to help you, but you gotta like work hard at it. I knew how to work hard, but I was just so easily discouraged because I was like, damn, like I don't really have anybody, like my music isn't like doing well in like an algorithm or anything.
Yeah.
Like it's not getting that much views. I didn't want to be, because I would see like artists, bro, who would spend like years making music. They released a song a week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
they just never made it.
And yeah, in a year, I just saw like they still got the same numbers. I was just so afraid of being that person.
Yeah.
So I think when I met you and you were willing to put me on your platform and like, you know, help, like I mean, to an extent it was...
Oh, you know, I still put your songs on my channel for like a good like 1 to 2 years.
Yeah.
It gave you a little boost in your numbers, but it wasn't crazy, right? Yeah. So I think you could, you know, give me, you know, a lot of credit, but I think a big part was still like on your own work ethic.
Oh, yeah.
When Bluebird blew up and you like steady, you know, took that momentum and just released consistent music.
I always knew I had the potential, but again, like when I get praise from people, and maybe I'm messed up for this, but it's like, I didn't really like felt like I didn't really believe their words. But then when you hit me up and you sat me down and we had a serious conversation, you were like, bro, like, I really think you could like blow up with this. And especially when I moved out to LA and you were like, yeah, bro, you can come live with us.
Yeah.
And at one point I wasn't even paying rent. Yeah. So for me in my head, I was like, nah, bro, I gotta be going. Like, I gotta go ham right now.
Yeah.
Because I'm in a situation where it's like this guy right here is like putting a lot of faith in me. He's even willing to like cover my rent at some parts.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm not saying like it was like all of it was because of you, but you really like sparked the initial,
Thank you, bro. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you were part of the videos. You definitely, you know, you were a character in my videos. You just made shooting videos fun for me sometimes. And like, you know, you helped me film here and there. You never really like...
asked for anything.
Yeah, you never really really complained. And I think it was just... And genuinely, I fuck with you as a friend. So, you know, it's...
I mean, I think a lot of it... Because I remember like that. I specifically remember that one summer. I kind of just hit you up and I was like, yo, bro, if you need anything, just let me know. I want to get out of this house. I want to do something. Ever since then, that kind of like sparked the creation of our friendship.
Yeah.
After that moment, I was just like, yeah, it's game time, bro.
At what point in terms of mindset, like, well, what were the struggles that you started hitting after you hit the initial like spike with the anime freestyles?
Actually, that was a good question, because that really made me sit and think, like, where is the direction that I wanted to take with my music?
Yeah.
I did really struggle with that heavy, because it's like, even though I did like making the anime freestyles, it's not what I made music for.
Right.
You know, like, I always wanted my music to either be like something that was like a reflection of like my personal life, or it would just be something fun to do. Rapping about anime for like the rest of my career seemed crazy, bro. Like, I was like, I would be so unhappy.
Yeah.
I mean, like, right now the direction of my music, I just kind of want to make it more
relatable.
Personalized.
Yeah.
Relatable and personal. I mean, and it's not even personal, as in, like, I'm going to talk about deep shit. Like, like past life experiences.
Uh-huh. One of the big takeaways from the Down Bad show is that, like, I want guys to kind of hear, you know, guys, like, glow up stories.
Yeah.
And know that, you know, being able to pursue your passions and being able to pursue, like, your mission in life will ultimately lead out of a down bad place, whether it be from a girl. A lot of times it is from a girl. So while you were pursuing music, were you still, like, you know, because you didn't have, I guess, the confidence you had now, right? Like, how are you with the shorties, bro?
I mean, I ain't gonna lie, I'm super cuffed right now because I kind of blew up.
Yeah.
But, like, because I was always, like, kind of cool when it came to talking girls. Like, I'm not gonna lie. I mean, in what we just talked about, yeah. I was, like, raised by girls.
Uh-huh.
So I never really had an issue when it came to, like, talking with shorties. It's just, like, now, I mean, if I was single, it'd probably be a little bit easier because now I have more of, like, a repertoire.
Any crazy hookups in college?
That's actually funny you brought that up. A lot of my hookups in college, I low-key think most of them, like, had a crazy Asian fetish.
Ah.
Because, like, bro, you have to realize, like, in high school, bro, I was choppity-chopped.
Yeah.
Like, I was busted.
For those of you guys that aren't from New York, that means he was ugly.
I was beyond ugly. Like, I was still...
Oh, I remember, bro. You had the fucking bowl cut.
Yeah.
This man is a full-grown, like, 19-year-old adolescent with a 12-year-old Asian haircut.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, and, like, my style was, like, not valid at all, really.
You had this, like, wrinkled ass, like, baggy t-shirt that you was wearing everywhere.
Yeah, so that was high school.
It was a little bit of college, too. That's what I remember.
I wasn't really, like, going out and hanging out. That's only when I would, like, pull up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know how, like, sometimes, like, I'll leave my room and I look like a bum?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of, like, planning on seeing anybody, like, crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no disrespect to you, but since you was, like, my brother at the time, I was just, like, I don't really care if I look like a bum around you.
Right.
But after, like in high school, bro, I was just not valid. When, like, college came and I first got my perm... And that's when I, like, actually got an ounce of female attention.
Mm.
Like, any girl, that's when, like, a girl finally, like, looked at me.
Okay.
And was just like, oh, hey, Con. Oh, hey, Con, how you doing? They touched my, I'm like, hey, yo, this normal?
So you did bag the girls that had Asian fever.
Yeah. I kind of played it cheap.
Were they good? Like they were good hookups?
Like, were they fun?
Were they fun?
Were fun.
Were those fire cheeks?
Oh, yeah. And again, I'm just speaking on what I think it is.
Yeah.
Like, because, like, I at the time, somewhat looked like what they envisioned, like, their celebrity idol or, like, Asian crush.
They thought you were, like, BTS or some shit?
I mean, like, a super discounter version, but they were like, shit, I can't get the real thing. I'm okay with this. It felt like they were, like, living out their fantasies of, like, fucking... an Asian guy. And you know how I knew too?
I felt like you didn't even need game to bag them. It just felt like you just took whatever came to you.
Well, like,
you also want to talk about how you smashed a couple of my fans? You want to get into that?
That was definitely another low point in my life.
That low point? What you trying to say about my fans?
Well, it's more
When I
say low point, when I say I was down bad because I couldn't find anybody else but your fans.
Nah, give some credit to my fans, bro.
They
pull up on you? They were like, oh my god.
Well, it was.
I seen you in Jimmy's video. You was spitting those bars.
It wasn't like devious or nothing. It was just like, oh, I saw you on Jimmy's channel. Oh, you guys are so funny. Like, that was it. You know what I mean? That was the basis. But, like, that gave me so much of an advantage. Because it was already easy for me to be able to talk to a girl.
Yeah.
So when they came up to me and they're already giving me this, like, positive energy, like, oh my god, you're so funny, blah, 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 and giving me, like, the slight, like, brushes.
Yeah.
Because, like, they'll be like, I'm so funny, and then I'll throw a joke at them, and they'll be like, oh my god, stop it. They'll be doing shit like
so
that.
You're so stupid.
I'd just be sitting there like,
gosh.
Where?
I'm gonna clap these cheeks later.
Yeah, we gonna get into it. You gonna be swallowing my children soon. I will say, like, most of the time, I don't... Most of my interactions with girls were usually not, like, penetrative sex, though. Because I low-key, like, enjoy head a lot more.
Yeah.
Than actual...
You know what it is? I feel like if a girl's really pretty, I just like fucking their face.
Because you know what it is? It's like the... It looks a lot better.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm not gonna lie, like sometimes missionary, when I be clapping, like, it looks good, right?
Yeah.
But it's, like, it's not the best view.
Yeah.
She, like, don't get me wrong. Like, when I'm with my girl and we're doing missionary, she still looks, like, amazing.
Right. You
know, it's still beautiful, but it's, like...
It's a different experience of missionary, yeah. But then, like, head. Yeah. Like, my dick is in your mouth. I see your ass. Yeah. I see the curvature of your ass. And it's just, like, overall, like... The view just looks hotter.
Especially when they're, like, looking up at you.
Yes.
And you know what I mean?
Yes.
You see like, my... And it's just, like, wow.
Right.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I don't know if it's because, like, we just had so many years on Pornhub that like, built up this image.
Yeah, bro. No, me on Pornhub, bro, that's an addiction right there, bro. Oh, that is an addiction. Yo, bro, high school and college, 3-4 times a day. Three, like, sometimes it'd be five.
Yeah, I'm not gonna...
I'll go crazy with it, bro. So, like, my at one point, it's just air. My shit is just, like...
What? It just be spazzing.
Yeah.
What's the most you maxed out in a day? The most times you went at it?
I think max is five. Five, six.
Five? Yeah. Because I feel like sometimes... The amount of time you had back in high school, back in middle school, it's just like there's nothing else to do but just browse Pornhub.
And, like, you know what's funny too? Like, after the release, you would think, oh, you know, you'd be chilling, you go back. With me, I had this thing where it's like after I released, I'd be like, ah. And then I still watch the video because I'm just genuinely entertained by what's going on in the video. And then afterwards, bro, I would just get hard again. Because I'm just like...
You had no time out?
Nah.
No breaks?
Well, I would... It was technically a break. Yeah. But, like, my break was just... I spent my break watching the video.
Right.
Like, I'd spend my break watching, like, a 30-minute porn video because I was like, wow, this plot is going crazy right now. I'm not going to lie. When I was in high school, bro, I would watch, like, Scooby-Doo porn parody and, like, Harry Potter porn. I was, like, a crazy nerd, so I wanted to watch, like, as many porn parodies as possible. So,
well, they dress up as a character?
Yeah.
And then Scooby would fuck, like, Velma?
Damn, bro, that is bestiality.
No, Scooby, but I mean Shaggy, my fault. Whoopsie.
They never even shit Scooby with nobody in the show.
Did you ever get off the hentai?
I still do, to this day. It was like hentai and like 3D hentai.
Yeah, for me, it was like you jerked off to the video games?
You're a weirdo. Bro, there's this...
Oh, I know the video game porn, bro. Oh, no, my God.
There's this company. It's called Yumamero 3D.
Okay.
And it is a video game, but it's like one of those, like, storyline video games, right? Where it's like... It's like you just choose an option and you can go down this route, right? Yeah.
And yo, some of the Final Fantasy bitches, if I saw them getting fucked...
That was me! I was watching Tifa getting her shit clapped. And I was just like... Yo, this is fire. Like, this is amazing. I'm, like, so fucking horny right now.
Yeah. It's because we, like, after school, we'd be playing as these characters, you know, with our friends or whatever. And then, like, back in the bedroom, it's like, yo, I already have an emotional attachment to you.
Yeah.
It makes my dick harder because, you know, I fuck with you. I'm playing.
But now, you know what was the worst part about it, though? This is one thing. I had to stop watching, like, anime porn of, like, mainstream characters because the animation style was just so different from the actual... Like there was this porn parody of, like, Naruto where Tsunade looked like she was a Sailor Moon character. And in my head,
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, and she just had big-ass titties, but she was just, like, a Sailor Moon character.
Right.
And I'm just sitting here like, bro, it's not her, bro. Yeah, it's not her.
I also, like, got off to Faku, which is, like, manga.
That's Faku?
Yeah, Faku. Yeah, see, you're not that cultured.
Nah, I'm not, bro.
See, it's Faku.com, and it's basically manga porn. It's manga hentai.
Well, I went on this molt porn.
Molt porn?
Molt porn. Oh. Yeah. That's where I go for my manga porn.
Oh, yeah.
Either that or...
They be having these schoolgirls tied up, bro. Yeah. And I'm like, yo. And it's just like... And the build-up with each panel. Yeah. It's just like... It's just a different experience than porn. You know?
Well, I you know what's funny? I used to read Fullmetal Alchemist porn manga. I'm low-key like a little bit of a cuck. So there's this one porn manga of Winry getting her shit rocked by like some random guy.
And it's just Edward, they're chilling looking at
it. It's just Edward being tied to a chair like, stop. And then Winry's getting her shit clapped. And at first she's like, I'm so sorry, Edward. But then she's like, Edward, no, I'm sorry. And I'm just like, God, it's crazy. I'm like, yeah. That shit was gas, bro. Like, I couldn't stop myself.
I feel like porn, though, has made me a better lover and fucker.
Yeah, I think it gives you, I think it allows you to have a better imagination in bed.
Yeah, it makes me a little bit more creative in bed. It makes me a little bit more experimental. And also just like, I could embody the aggressiveness of like an actual male porn star. Yeah. And then like, I think some of that aggression, you know, it translates to, you know, your partner having a better time. So I think porn does actually elevate your sex life a lot.
I think it depends on how you take it. Because like, I do think for me, like, we're good, like, actors. Yeah. And we're good at embodying what we see. So I think that's why, like, porn has helped us.
Yeah.
But, like, I do know a lot of people who watch a crazy amount of porn and they're just not.
No, because, you're watching porn for the different reasons, right?
Yeah.
Because sometimes I would watch porn strictly to just, like...
Learn.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the girls that I've hooked up with in the past, you know, mm-hmm. like, a lot of their past partners were much more experienced at penetration.
Mm.
So, for me, over time, I just learned how to just get crazy at giving head.
Right. How much you rocking? How much you packing?
I think, like, a calm six.
Six?
Like, on a great day.
Yeah.
Maybe 6.3.
What about circumference?
I have not measured that yet, but apparently, according to my girl, it's been pretty thick.
Okay.
I mean, every time I've gotten head from someone before,
yeah.
It's always been like
they got to open wide.
Yeah. Which is funny because for the longest time, I really thought my shit was small.
Yeah.
But you know what's also funny? I think it's because I be joking about having a small dick to people a lot.
But really, you packing, bro.
And I think like I like lower people's expectations. So when I actually like whip it out, they're like, oh shit, this isn't small.
Have you ever gotten like negative reviews on like post-sex? No.
I mean, I've...
Don't you wish, like, you could hear, like, an unfiltered just opinion about, like, fucked?
I do wish I had that, but...
Like you just tapped into, like after you smashed a girl and you just tapped into, like, you know, her group chat of, like, how she talks to her homegirls about your dick. Right?
It's probably more about me giving head.
That's your strength.
Even gonna lie, bro. For a while, like most of the girls I've hooked up with, it was just us giving each other head. I didn't even really like fuck like that.
Really?
Because I just loved giving head. And like, I don't know if this is like lack of self-confidence, but like for me, it's like I know I can get tired really quickly when it comes to like just fucking.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I was never in like the greatest of shapes, but like I could give head like crazy.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You only need to move your lips.
Yeah.
And your tongue.
Well, mainly tongue.
Yeah.
My tongue be doing most of the work. Yeah. I ain't gonna lie. Like that's one thing I don't know if rapping helped me with, but like my tongue be crazy, bro.
Probably.
Yeah. Because like I would rap fast. And, like, my tongue would have to move, like, a lot because of that. That shit definitely helped me out with when it comes to giving head.
Mm. But when you give head, it's kind of a combination of everything. It's, like, tongue, like, sucking and fingers, right? Yeah. Because then, like, you include penetration and...
Yeah, I'll be doing this shit while I'm giving them head.
Oh, you'll be doing the running man?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll be doing
the Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
What about freaky stuff? Do you experiment with, like, BDSM, like...
Yes, but it's mainly been, like, if the girl wanted to do it. I don't like, it's like, I can still get into it if that's what turns her on. If they want to do like handcuffs or if they want to do, because it's like, I have no expertise in that. And I don't really know like how to maneuver that unless like they tell me how they would like it.
Okay.
I can either be like dominant or submissive, but it's really based on like what my partner wants. Because I guess like for me, I'm like,
again, if they're not into it, you're not into it.
Yeah. Like if they want me to be like this rough, like, you know, aggressive dude, I can turn that on. If they want me to be super gentle, super nice, super like, you know, passionate, I can be on that timing too. But it's like,
have you ate, like, what, like any freaky stuff that you yourself is particularly into, like maybe a foot fetish or like,
oh yeah, bro, I be licking toes like crazy, bro. Like my tongue be like in between, like I be sucking on a big toe, like, bro, I ain't even gonna lie. Toes be slapping, bro.
You ever got a foot job?
Yeah.
That shit's kind of like underrated, bro. Yeah. It's very underrated. You know, you get some lotion involved, you know?
The first girl I hooked up with, we didn't do anything, but she just gave me a foot job. My shit was like this, and then her foot was just like this on my shit.
And like 2 feet, like this, right?
Nah, not even 2 feet.
Oh, what?
Shawty, like, she was like this. And her shit was just rubbing. I was just like, I was like, this is crazy.
I want to end off the pod with with an advice segment, right? For the Down Bad show here.
I will say, though, like, having music as, like, a hobby, that shit just helps you stand out so much more.
Interesting.
I would, like, do, like, subtle things sometimes. Like, this one tactic that I used to do was I would, like, and this only worked because I had a car.
Okay.
Right? So I would, like, pick up a girl, we'd be riding, and then I would just do something really subtle, like, putting on a song that I know really, really well, and then I would like rap to that song. Because I never put on my own music because I thought that was corny, right?
Yeah.
So my way of leading up to it is I would put on a song that I knew really well. My go-to was "Gone" by Kanye West. It wasn't one of his most popular songs though.
Okay.
But it was a song like most Kanye fans remember. Yeah. But like doing that, like I would like rap that really well.
Yeah, yeah. And they would just look at you, oh my God. And does that segue into like, oh, you know, I'll rap a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. That pretty much segues into like, oh yeah, no, I make music a little bit. And they'd be like, oh wow, really?
Yeah.
And obviously if they were already into me, they'd be like, oh, let me like listen to
I don't know, intimate, romantic, when you could like play a song for a girl that you like sang to, right?
That worked out a lot better in my favor. But like I wouldn't start out like doing that. Like
that's charming, bro.
Yeah.
Like I'm not gonna lie, I can't do the same with a girl, bro. I can't be in a car with a girl and be like, oh yeah, let me play one of my videos.
But that's because that was my talent. I mean, you know what I mean? Like I feel you, there's subtle ways that I've seen you flex your talent, you know?
How?
You know, you a master at the street interview, so you a master at improv, you know, coming up with shit on the spot. So
I think for me it just made me, I'm able to approach anybody.
Yeah.
And with like enough energy and enough like good charm to just carry a conversation and for it just to flow really smoothly, really well.
I think like in a lot of my past cases, talking to girls, like I will say them knowing I made music, I think probably at least played like a calm 25% or 25 to like 50% of why we were able to hook up.
Really?
Because they would always end up knowing I made music. I mean, there were some that didn't, that I purely just rizzed myself.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? But
what about your girlfriend right now? Do you think music is like
I don't think it's a...
She loves you for you.
Because for me, like, she has my own... kind of shares my sense of humor a little bit.
Yeah.
In a certain aspect. So, like, I actually just rizzed her just purely off, like, just comedy. Because we just were able to riff off each other for, like, hours. You know, and when you're able to talk to someone... for like 5-6 hours in my head, I was just like,
that's fine.
Wow, this is amazing. Like I'm not bored at all. And we're like 6-7 hours deep into this conversation.
She a soulmate, bro? Or she a twin flame?
Shit, bro, she might be I think she a twin flame at the moment.
You see a future with her?
Yeah.
That's what's up.
I'm not like getting my hopes up like crazy though. Like I'm not like, oh yeah, I'm gonna
anything could happen.
Yeah,
but
I do think like if everything,
things are great right now,
if there's nothing that goes crazy, like I could definitely see us
yeah
thing in the long term.
Well, that's all great to hear, but a lot of the viewers here are down bad. So we're going to get into some of the questions today.
I bet.
And hopefully you could instill some of your wisdom onto them. So we got this question from the viewer. Now, I have a question, though. So I have this problem of getting too attached to girls too quickly. I'm pretty confident 80% of the time. I would like to think that I have a pretty solid game, but once I start talking to one of them or have sex with one of them, I get super attached to the point where I lose focus on myself. And then they start to distance themselves because they don't want a relationship above a physical level. Damn, I mean, you win into some extent.
I mean, like you're not down horribly. Like, you know, you're not really down bad because you're still getting cheeks.
Yeah, above a physical, I get super sad and try to find someone else really fast. That causes me to lower my standards quite a bit.
Like, standards is in, like you was messing with sevens, now you messing with twos? Sounds crazy.
But I think it's just fucking the wrong girls, I think, first of all. Second of all, you gotta give a nice little, what do you call it? A grace period of, like, falling in love and catching feelings.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you both do it simultaneously at the same time. Because if you show your feelings too quickly, and here's the problem with that, is like, if you do that, sometimes that puts the pressure on the other person. It's like when you say I love you, right, to somebody, and they don't feel the same, right?
They might start feeling like pressured.
A little bit. Like, so it's like you can't put that expectation of them to feel the same way about you.
Yeah.
Right? So I would say it is good to know how to manage emotions.
I would say in my past, like, something that's helped me, it's kind of like on and off sometimes, but there's certain girls where I definitely caught feelings for really fast, and it was just not to my advantage at all.
Because I think what it is, I get blindsided by feelings.
Yeah. This is why I sometimes think masturbating so much has really helped me, because I get post-nut clarity a lot. No, this is
so,
like,
jerk off to the girls that he talks to?
No. Not jerk off to them. I just jerk off to, like, you know, just other, like, porn videos.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, I feel like when you get, like, attached to someone, right? Yeah. Like, they kind of become your world. So you kind of have to, like, realize that, right?
You got to distribute your nut a little bit.
Yeah, like, you got to start realizing that there's other valid girls out there. You don't have to, like, just save all your nut for this one girl. Like, I don't know, for me, I think, like, whenever I feel myself getting attached, like, crazy to a girl, and, like, I don't think it's a good idea, I usually just, you know, rub one off, and I'm like, all right, that post nut clarity, that should be slapping sometimes.
I think, either that or just if you're in the dating phase, talk to multiple people. It just alleviates a lot of the thought and stress. And also, just, you could still have one person that you're really feeling. I don't know, just having other options and having because the ultimate fact is that if you put all your eggs in one, all your chips in this one play, it will just, it's not gonna work out.
Yeah, the chances of
it working out is just a lot smaller than if you would spread your chips out to multiple baskets. Because it ultimately helps you out with this one person, but knowing that fact, you have to now spread your chips to multiple baskets to help strike that one bass. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I get what you mean. Like, it's like, if you're just talking to one girl for an entire time, it's like, of course you're gonna be attached to them. Like, this is the only person you're talking to, you know, you're sharing your feelings with. But it's like, at the end of the day, it's like, we need to interact with other people to realize, like, how big the world is type shit.
Question, I have a gal friend who is extremely homebody, literally has no other friends but me. I say that's a red flag. She's really cute, and I've known her for a long time, but she rejected my offer of a date, but keeps asking me to do things just like us two, like concerts or shopping.
She makes it clear I'm friend zone. Also, wait, they're not hooking up. She's friend.
My question is, do girls like keeping that one stray friend around? But why does she keep asking to do couple-like things? Okay, first of all, shopping isn't necessarily a couple-like thing to do. Yeah. You know what a couple-like thing to do is? Fucking.
Yeah. Or actually going on a date.
Or just something more, like shopping, bro.
Yeah, that's shopping. That's not romantic at all, bro.
It's kind of like, you could do shopping with just, like, Homies,
yeah.
Yeah, like,
bro.
That's just
like a Sunday afternoon little fucking...
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. It seems like in this situation, she's just actually being a friend, and you might be misinterpreting, like, what she's saying.
At this point, I would... Like, if you want to date her, like, every time you go out shopping with her, you know, it's not fair to you, because in the back of your head, it's like, oh, man, she's cute. I want to hold her hand. I want to do all this couple shit with her. But...
Bro, like, in his head, when they're going shopping, he's just like, damn, that's my girl right there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's not a healthy fantasy to build up. Bro, like, for all we know, she's probably getting clapped, you know, later on that night.
For all we know, she's probably looking at this shit like, damn, look at this sim coming
on. No, I one thing, though, like, concerts, I think that's a good place to, like, actually make a move on a girl. Because, like, concerts, you know, you got music, you got vibes, you know, you got dancing, you know.
But I don't know, because she says she has rejected his offer of a date. And that is actually really interesting to me, though, because it's like, a date doesn't even mean anything crazy, right?
Yeah.
Like, I know girls who are down to go on a date even if nothing happens, right? So it's like, if she's rejecting his offer of going on a date, she is just not with it, bro.
Because,
I've never met a girl who, like, was still, like, even if it was, like, 1% interested, I've never met a girl who's rejected a date. Like, straight out, like, flat out, you know?
Yeah. I'm sorry to burst your bubble, bro.
Yeah.
And this is one of those hard pills to swallow, but, you know, she's just not into you, bro. I'd say just cut the friendship off. I'd say cut the friendship off.
I mean, I will say, if you do genuinely look at her as a friend, because, like, I've been in this situation before where I've had to assess, like, do I want to pursue this girl romantically, or should I just keep it at friend level? If you think she's genuinely, like, a good friend, you want to keep her as a friend, you can do that, but, like, definitely detach yourself. Like, you know, like, talk to her less, maybe.
Yeah.
Don't go to concerts with her, like, as much anymore. If that's fucking with you, you know, you got to look out for your own heart.
Yeah.
You know?
Because that kind of rejection, it's a pretty, like... If she hits you with, like, oh, how come, you know, like, we're not hanging out as much? How come, you know, we're... I'm like, that's actually a pivotal moment where you, like, hey, a friendship is not something that I wanted in the beginning. So it's like, that's actually a pivotal moment for you to actually be a man about shit.
Yeah.
And that you could, like, kind of swish the attraction level a little bit when she's, like, on the, like, defensive, right? It's like, how come, you know, you're like, hey, I'm sorry. I think you cute. And I can't afford to, like, waste my feelings. You know?
Okay, yeah, I can see that. That is definitely a smoother way of going about it. Because I ain't gonna lie, bro. I probably would have hit her with a, damn, Shawty, you ain't got no friends. I can't just be your only friend. You gotta start making more friends, bro. Because you think I'm out here just talking to you, Shawty? I got, like, 10 friends I gotta go to. I'm your only friend. You not my only friend. Okay, you gotta act up, cause
get some more friends, bitch. Like, sure.
I mean, that's like what you said. That is a red flag. If you only have one friend and that's the only person you talk to, I'm not saying it's the most terrible thing in the world, but it's like, you have to realize if you only have one friend that you rely on for everything, then it's like, that's kind of toxic. Like, you can't put all your eggs... Again, what you say, you can't put all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
And Shawty is low-key doing that to him, even though, you know, he obviously...
So, you know, you could even propose, like, hey, you know, if you swung me some cheeks, I'll introduce you to some new friends.
Nah, I ain't even gonna lie.
I'm just kidding.
I agree. I think that, like, in some situations that would be valid, but it's just like, in this situation, bro, she don't even seem like she's even willing to, like, touch him type shit.
Oh, yeah.
Sunset, rejecting offer of a date. Like, damn, Shawty, I just want to go to dinner with you. We don't even got to do nothing, but nah. Shawty don't even want to go to dinner with you.
Oof.
And you know what's crazy? Imagine, like, you know, you do get this whole reservation. Imagine he does set everything up for a date, and then she pull up and, like, Converses.
Facts.
And a hoodie.
Yeah.
Like, that's how this energy is coming off to me, that she'd be on that timing. So it's like, I don't know. That sound like a down bad situation.
Let's end it off on one last question. Let's see. Well, this is kind of a story, but recently I kind of got ghosted after a few encounters of them being to me. I don't know, like... We would have a great time one night, like, cuddle and talk the whole night, flirting and stuff, and all our friends say, oh, adorable. Man, I hate when that shit happens. Like, all your friends gas your shit up, but when you really not doing anything with a girl,
they're like, oh, it's so cute.
You guys look, oh, you guys would make such a great couple. And then my. and stuff, but the next night I just get no attention or talk. Like, she just straight up does not talk to me. I feel like I'm getting played, but this happened to me too often.
That's the main thing I'm curious about.
You know what? I'm gonna do a call with him on FanHouse. So this is actually gonna be a personal episode that I'm gonna start uploading onto FanHouse. I'm getting so many of these messages on the Down Bad Instagram that I want to kind of start filtering it out to people that, you know, make a little just extra commitment on like helping your bettering yourself, because obviously I don't have enough time to get to like what this is, like 100 messages. I will, you know, take some time to really delve into your questions, make the calls, and I will put those calls on the Fan House so, you know, you guys could watch it and learn from it, etc. Thank you, Contrast.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man, check out my man's music, check out my man's SoundCloud.
Yes, sir.
Even though, you know, man, you surpassed the, you know, the
I'm like SoundCloud. SoundCloud. No, plug the Spotify. Come yeah, yeah. Moving on to Spotify.
Facts. And now we're going to take it to the outro song.